I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Are you going to tell me what that was about?
Maybe.
Just tell me.
I don't know that I can.
Why not?
Because after this last week together, I'm scared to.
Well, if it's that important...
It is that important.
Rowan, I...
Listen, I want to tell you what's happened. And after that, I want you to be happy for me. And after that, I want to eat cake and get drunk with you. And after that, I want to have sex with you. And after that, I want this night to go on and on and on and on. Because after that, I think everything will change.
This is Play Me, your digital theater. We transform the hottest contemporary plays into bingeable audio dramas. I'm Laura Mullen.
And I'm Chris Tolley.
Welcome to Play Me. You're listening to the podcast that transforms theater scripts by award-winning writers into bingeable audio fiction. You've just heard a clip from today's feature, the critically acclaimed and award-winning Prodigal by Paolo Santalucia. Hi, I'm Chris Tolley, here with my co-host, Laura Mullen.
Hey, Chris. So I know that you and I are always looking for stories that whisk us away somewhere we haven't been before or give us access to places that we don't normally get to go to. And I think we'll both admit that there's a definite thrill in diving into the lives of the rich and powerful to see what goes on behind their glamorous facades. But what's even more fascinating is the reminder that money and status just don't buy happiness. And that's exactly what Paolo Santalucia nails in his explosive family drama, Prodigal.
The show premiered at Crow's Theater in Toronto last year, and it quickly became one of the city's hottest tickets. It is such a sharply written script and an incredible cast, including Dan Musso, who won the Dora Award for the role of Edmund, the gay, alcoholic son of a prominent family who's been cut off from the family trust. The play delves into themes of queerness, privilege, marginalization, and the complexities of forgiveness, making it a thought-provoking experience for the entire audience.
This is part one of two of Paolo Santalucia's Prodigal, recorded in the studio at CBC in Toronto.
I've been thinking about redemption, about the difference between redemption and forgiveness. I think we confuse the two a lot these days. Yesterday I went to get my hair cut, and while I waited, I watched the barber cut the hair of the man ahead of me. I noticed something about this man. He couldn't stop looking at himself in the mirror. And I don't mean the way one does when they're getting their hair cut, you know, checking in from time to time, making sure the barber's cutting it the way you like. Making sure it's looking fresh. No, I mean looking. Now, this barber's been cutting hair for 50 years. He's old, but his hands work just fine. I like him because he doesn't talk much, doesn't even ask you what you want, just taps the chair and gets on with his business. He's old school, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's funny how accustomed we get to the rhythm of things, people in the church especially. That rhythm of that shop has been the same since I was a kid. The bell dinging, the radio playing, the scissors clipping, that tap on the chair, exactly the same. But the other day, that changed. Those scissors stopped, and there was a silence in that shop like I've never heard before. I looked up, and I see blood trickling down the seated man's ear. He's still looking at himself, but now he looked different, strange, like he forgot that he could bleed. I don't need to tell you what happens when men like that get cut by their barbers. I'm so sorry, said the barber. What's wrong with you? Said the man. You moved your head, said the barber. I was on my phone, said the man, working. He emphasized that word. I have a lot of work to do, he said. And on he went. And on the barber apologized. And as I sat there watching this important man tell the barber how important he was, how important his work was, how important his white shirt was, how important his day was, as he crushed this barber with the weight of his importance, I realized something important myself. This man didn't want the barber's apology. He had no interest in apologies. He wanted reparation, a new shirt, free haircuts, reparations that would in fact redeem the barber for having ruined this very important man's very important day. In Matthew, we're told of a shepherd and his flock of 100 sheep. One night, one of those sheep goes missing in a terrible storm, and the shepherd sets out into the darkness, determined not to let one of his animals fall prey to the night. Eventually, after hours of searching, he finds the sheep, and as he picks it up, he starts weeping. We're often told this parable is about the importance of leaving no one behind. I've probably even said as much. But there's something else. This parable, and the one that follows it, all end in tears shed over the return of something lost. Why? Because so too does God rejoice at the return of those who have strayed from him. That's redemption, folks. It is in his mercy that we find it, not yours, not mine. We live in an age of self-righteousness. We live in times that trick us into thinking that we have the power to lead others to salvation because we are enlightened to do so. I want to remind you that you do not have this power. I want to remind you that while you may be more enlightened, so too are we prideful. And pride is the enemy of forgiveness. Pride replaces God's mercy with our own. When I told you that story of what happened in the barbershop, I don't think many of you sided with the important man. But when we leave this church, how many of you will become him? Do not confuse your capacity for forgiveness with thinking you have the power of redemption. Do not confuse yourself into thinking you are the important man. You are not the important man. You are the sheep. You are the sheep.
What are you doing back here?
Mrs. Clark says her fillet is too bloody.
She didn't even cut it.
Yeah, she says she can tell.
What can she tell? Is she psychic?
She says it's too rare.
I'll tell you what's rare. These people being satisfied with their food. Always somebody sending something back.
What should I do with their steak?
Just leave it there. Go.
Do you need help with anything?
No, thanks. God damn it.
You sure?
Yep.
Well, if you change your mind, let me know.
You're the party planner.
No.
You just like kitchens?
I work for Mr. Clark. I'm his executive assistant.
So what? He makes you work this late on a Friday night?
No.
So why are you here?
Sorry?
Why are you here?
I'm just killing some time.
What for?
My brother. I'm meeting him at the airport in a bit. Is that a problem?
No. I just don't like not knowing why people are in my kitchen.
Oh, you don't have to wash all that. The cleaners will be here to fix it all in the morning.
We always do a final wipedown.
I know, but there's stuff she likes cleaned a specific way, and she'll get annoyed if she sees it lying out. Trust me.
These people and their fucking plates. Quentin, what are you doing?
Rowan wants a different wine.
What's wrong with the one I chose?
You wanted the Sangiovese?
Are you fucking kidding?
Relax, baby, relax.
Don't tell me to relax. You don't have Sangiovese with filet mignon. I told him it'll taste like water.
It doesn't matter.
All he's going to do now is brag that he picked a better wine than the chef. Don't tell me it doesn't matter. Go, take this back out to Marilyn.
Did you refire it?
No, I didn't refire it. She's just showing off. Same as Rowan.
They're just excited.
Bullshit.
Their son's getting engaged.
That's not the point. No way would he be asking for a different wine if you chose it. And no fucking way would she be sending back food from you. She'd be moaning over it, saying shit like, oh, Quentin, you really have done yourself this time. Never mind. I'm the one cooking their food. The least you could do is remind them of it.
I do remind them.
No, you keep saying thank you.
I want to get paid, Pauline.
Nah, you want to be liked.
Being liked means getting paid.
Them liking the food means getting paid.
Why are you taking this so personally?
Because it is personal.
They've got nothing against you, Pauline. They've never even met you.
They met me tonight when they mistook me for a fucking delivery person.
What? Why didn't you tell me?
Same reason I don't tell you every time a server does it, or a supplier does it. I'm running out of breath.
They're just distracted.
Don't give me that bullshit. They're not distracted. This is how they are. I told you when you booked with them, they'd be difficult.
You're the one being difficult.
Excuse you? Just watch. You take that steak out exactly as it was, and she'll say it's the best goddamn piece of meat she ever ate. Go! Then tell me I'm being fucking difficult.
Baby.
And you best stop calling me baby, or I'ma lose my shit. When we are in the kitchen, you call me chef.
I hate doing service with you when you're like this.
You know what I hate? People telling me there's something wrong with my food when there isn't. Go. What did I say?
Pauline.
What I fucking say?
Pauline.
This is the last time I do one of these things, Quentin. I swear to God, I can't anymore.
Come here.
What?
It would be good for us to get to know them.
Why?
Because they're the kind of folks who could maybe help us out.
I don't want these people's money, Quentin.
You can't keep closing the door to people I'm building working relationships with.
Why are you pushing this so hard?
I'm not.
Did you already talk to them about it?
What?
Look at me. Did you?
In passing.
I'm going to stab you.
It came out casually.
Casually? You don't casually ask someone to invest in a restaurant, Quentin.
I didn't ask. I mentioned it when we were menu planning and their son said it sounded cool.
Cool. Who are you? We're not opening a restaurant with someone who thinks it sounds cool.
Pauline.
No, take the salad out. And if they start moaning and groaning over it, you tell them who fucking made it.
Yes, chef.
And don't ever have conversations about our restaurant without me again. Babe. Sorry you had to see that.
I've seen worse.
This kind of house attracts tension. Always does.
Excuse me, are you the cook?
I'm the chef, yes.
I'm Sadie, Henry's fiance.
Is there a problem?
No, not at all. Everything's delicious. I love the... Oh, what are they called? The little things you served as a starter?
Potato chips.
Oh my God, yes. They were so good.
Glad you liked them.
I'm obsessed.
Was that all you wanted to say?
No, sorry. I was actually hoping I could see the cake for a quick sec. I want to take a picture with it.
It's your cake.
Oh, you're so sweet. I'm obsessed with you. Thank you. Oh my God, it's gorgeous. I just want to post about it before it gets all cut up.
Is that a ring light?
Yeah, nobody gives a shit about you unless you've got good lighting. Not when you've got 14-year-olds with full studio setups in their bedrooms. You've got to keep up, you know?
You compete with 14-year-olds.
It doesn't matter how old you are likes, and likes mean business.
And what's your business?
I'm the CEO slash owner of an online lifestyle brand slash magazine kind of thing. Sort of like Goop, but way more accessible to the under 40s.
Goop?
Gwyneth Paltrow's magazine? Oh, she sells like crystals and napkins and things.
Crystals?
For your chakras.
What is she saying?
We do features on all kinds of products and people and stuff. I made a big deal about the cake tonight. I did one of those cute would you rather see the cake or my outfit stories earlier, and I just want to follow it up. Everyone picked cake, but obviously I'm going to show both. I mean, hello. Do you mind taking one of me next to it?
Of course.
Thanks so much. It's just the red button.
I know, I've got the same one.
Oh yeah? Good for you. Ugh, no, I don't like the way I'm standing. Take it again. Ugh, so much better. Thanks.
Sure.
Do you mind if I get one with you in it?
Excuse me?
I'd love one with you in it if that's okay.
Why?
We're just really invested in female entrepreneurship. It's like a cornerstone of the brand.
What is? Sorry?
Just like, amplifying women and providing a platform for people who might not have one. Or
you don't think I have a platform?
No, sorry. I don't mean you. I just mean, like, you, you know?
No.
Our followers love it when we push local businesses run by, like, fierce girl boss energy, especially from, like, communities they might not, you know, might not normally engage with.
Like chefs?
Totally. Yeah, our followers love chefs.
Well, I'd love to help you, but I didn't make the cake.
Oh, I thought you said...
I said I'm the chef. My husband does dessert. Right, Quentin?
I don't know what you're talking about, but if there's a problem, it's my fault. What are you talking about?
Sadie wants to take a picture of you and the cake.
Oh, cool.
It's for her blog.
My Insta, actually.
For her Insta, sorry. She wants to amplify you.
No, it's okay. You're probably busy.
He's not busy. You busy?
I have no idea what's...
He's not busy. Here, I'll take it. There you go.
Sadie, what are you doing in here?
Just posting about the cake, babe.
My dad wants to say something. Everything's delicious, man. Better be this good for the wedding.
Oh, thanks so much. And yeah, definitely, definitely. Glad you're enjoying everything.
Fucking loving it. That steak? Chef's kiss, man.
Yeah, dude, for sure. Chef's kiss.
Come on, babe.
What's he talking about? Wedding?
He cornered me, Pauline.
I'm not cooking their wedding, Quentin.
Pauline.
I'm not cooking their fucking wedding. I need some air. Excuse me.
I should talk to her. If anything catches fire, can you...
Sure.
Thanks.
I'm not really one for speeches. Give me a break, Frank. I'm trying to feign humility here. In all seriousness, it means a great deal that you're all here tonight. An engagement is an important moment. It speaks to great promise, to expectancy, to hope. I already count myself lucky to be blessed with two incredible children, and I'm even luckier now that Henry has brought me a third. So please join me in raising a glass to the promise of a beautiful future for these two beautiful people. We just adore you, Sadie. Welcome to the family. One more thing. How about this food, eh? Let's hear it for the chef. Thank you, Quentin.
Thank you, Quentin.
Quentin!
I'm not in the mood, Mom.
Get back to the table.
I need a minute.
Get back to the table, Violet.
I said I need a minute.
We're eating.
I'm not hungry.
Of course not. You've already drunk your dinner.
Did you come in here to pick a fight?
When it comes to you and me, it's always a fight.
In that case, cheers.
Stop drinking. It's getting vulgar.
So is pretending one of your children doesn't exist.
Simone, can you excuse us?
Yes, Mrs. Clark.
Thank you. All right, listen to me.
No, you listen to me.
No, you listen to me. Stop sulking and go sit down.
Or what? You'll kick me out?
Don't be histrionic.
Calling your daughter hysterical. How progressive.
I didn't call you hysterical.
It was implied.
If you say so, you're the writer.
Is that why you're here, to talk about my writing?
I'm here because you're embarrassing me.
You should be embarrassed. That speech was fucking obscene. Just sitting there pretending Edmund doesn't exist. What the hell is wrong with you?
What would you like me to do? Tell your father to include more anecdotes? Like the time you almost drowned because Edmund blacked out on the dock at 11 in the morning? Or the time he cracked his skull open crashing my car into a highway median?
It's not my fault you don't have happier memories of your children.
I have happy memories of my children, Violet.
Oh yeah? What's the last one you have of me?
I'm not doing this.
Why? Can't think of one?
Of course I can.
Really? Because I can't.
That's a terrible thing to say.
Doesn't make it any less true.
Give me a break. You're just in a bad mood because your father hurt your feelings and you know he doesn't really care.
Obviously, he doesn't care. None of you care.
We care, Violet.
Yeah, you care. About what they say about you at the fucking Boulevard Club.
Don't you dare make a joke about that. Do you understand what your article did? To me? To your father?
Here we go.
Stop rolling your eyes every time I try to tell you you've hurt my feelings.
Doesn't feel good having your feelings minimized, does it?
I'm telling you, you've hurt me, Violet.
I know. I heard you.
Is that all you have to say?
At least I acknowledged it. That's more than you ever did.
Oh, you have no idea how hard it's been. How many people have asked if I'm okay, if we're still talking, or if you'd even show up tonight.
Well, that's what happens when you start ejecting children from the family, Mom. People start to wonder, who's next?
We didn't kick him out. He left.
He didn't leave.
He left, Violet.
Because of you.
Because he was weak.
And you wonder why I wrote about your aggressive brand of motherhood.
That was the least problematic thing you called me.
Oh, yeah?
You said I was a pallbearer to feminism.
You are a pallbearer to feminism.
How?
Because you're in here yelling at me when you should be out there talking to Dad.
I'm here because I don't want you to become another empty seat at our table. Not over Edmund.
So you are kicking me out.
Of course not, but we all have our limits, Violet.
I see. So I can be your daughter as long as I write about table settings and napkin rings like a good little girl.
You can be my daughter as long as you want to be my daughter.
It's not supposed to be up to me, Mum.
No. Well, you're the one who says I don't empower you enough. Here, I'm empowering you. Get back to the table or go home.
Wow. Great fucking mothering.
I'm doing my best, Violet.
God help us if this is you doing your best.
One day, Violet, maybe when I'm dead, I hope you realize that it's you who's rejected me right from the start, and all this anger over Edmund is just jealousy because he got out first and you're still here.
Maybe. But what do you think it says about you that your children keep running away from your mothering?
Oh, spare me. If this is because I didn't coddle you enough, take it up with your therapist or get a boyfriend.
Fuck you, Mum!
Fuck you, too.
Who's?
Sorry, Mrs. Clark. I think I left my phone in here.
Of course. Sorry about all that.
You don't have to apologize.
Well, she'd say otherwise. Anyway, it doesn't matter. You can take that.
I'm just waiting on a text from my brother.
Oh, that's right. You must be excited to see him.
I will be, once he's through customs. That's always a bit tricky.
When's the last time you saw him?
A year ago, maybe. Last time I was home.
That's a long time.
It is.
How long will he be staying?
It's a bit open. I think he's looking to relocate here. But it's always a bit of a process. The lawyers Mr. Clark connected us with have been really helpful.
I didn't realize he'd done that.
Oh, sorry.
Not a big deal. I just didn't know. Anyways, if I don't see you before you go, I hope it's a happy reunion. Good night.
Good night. Hey.
Hey.
How are you holding up?
Not great.
You don't need to mope, Quentin.
Well, I don't like it when you yell at me.
You're mumbling.
I don't like it when you yell at me, I said.
Yo, yo, feels very focused in here, very chefy, very cool, I like it.
Ooh, you shouldn't be carrying those.
Oh, no worries. Gave me an excuse to get away for a sec.
Excuse me. Oui, hello?
Something not to your liking?
No, it's nothing like that, but, do you have a quick minute?
Pauline, can you finish with this? Thanks. Is this about the food?
No, food's great. It's just, Sadie said there was an altercation with your cook.
My cook? You mean Pauline?
Who's Pauline?
The chef. My wife?
Oh. Oh, shit.
Yeah, Sadie mentioned there was a problem?
She said your wife was, like, rude to her or... She wouldn't let her take her picture or some shit. I don't fucking know. It all sounds kind of sensitive, but Sadie's been looking forward to this night for fucking ever. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. I'm just not sure what you want me to...
Can you just ask your wife to, like, take the fucking picture or whatever?
I can try.
Great. Because I loved where those conversations were going earlier, man. I think this restaurant thing could be really fucking cool, but not if there's petty shit floating around, you know?
Of course not.
And there will be. With Sadie, there will be.
I'll see what I can do.
Solid. Thanks, man. Oh, and my dad was asking if we're still on track to have everyone out by 10. I think he's getting restless.
Of course.
Sweet. Fruit's looking good, chef. What is that, mango? Oh, ew, pineapple. Gross.
What was that about?
She wants you to apologize.
Who does?
Sadie.
Apologize to who?
Her.
For what?
For not taking the picture.
Are you for real?
I don't know, Pauline. Can you just do it?
Why?
Because we're never going to pay for a fucking restaurant if you won't actually work for anyone.
I got no problem working for people, Quentin, but I got a problem with being used. I cannot.
Knock, knock.
Hi, Sadie.
I hope I'm not interrupting.
Of course not. We're just prepping your dessert.
Oh, everyone's commenting on my post.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Anyways, I didn't love where we left things off. I get headaches when I'm anxious, and my therapist told me to speak up when I feel the energy's off. He says I'm really sensitive to energy.
Okay.
Can I offer you some feedback real quick?
Mm-hmm.
I love that you're, like, rocking the boss lady vibe thing, and, like, I've never run a kitchen, so I don't know what that's like.
Okay.
But when you're dealing with brides-to-be, it's important to remember that our stress is... Sorry, I'm generalizing. My stress is probably just as high as yours. So, in the future, it might be a good idea to just... I don't know. Not overcomplicate things.
You find talking to me complicated?
Pauline.
Look. Sadie, if taking my picture will make your engagement party better, you can take a picture. But I won't be posing with you. I'm going to be holding a knife. Because I'm a chef, and I cut shit up for a living. I'm not trying to be complicated. Okay?
Okay. Sorry.
For what?
I don't know. I just felt like I needed to apologize.
I accept your apology.
Thank you.
Is there anything else?
Do you have any feedback for me?
Excuse me?
My therapist said it's important that these things don't end up one-sided, so I invite you to offer any feedback you have for me, too.
Pauline.
Thank you for that, Sadie. I'll think about it. Now hurry up and take my picture because your father-in-law is getting impatient.
Okay. Thank you.
Anytime.
What just happened?
I love you, Quentin. That's what happened. But I'm telling you right now, if we do their wedding, we are charging them double.
You mean that?
If we do it, I said. I'll think about it. Now go clear the plate so we can get dessert on the table and get the fuck home.
You're gonna kick the shit out of running a restaurant, you know that?
I'm about to kick the shit out of you if you don't hurry up.
Yes, chef.
We'll be right back.
I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of 6 darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. You understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
All good?
Yeah, my brother's flight got in early.
Are you going?
No. He said he's getting a cab into the city now. I don't know. He can be a bit impulsive sometimes.
Maybe he met someone on the plane.
No.
Why do you say that?
Because he's married.
So? European girls are fucking crazy. They don't care about that shit. You should have seen what I saw flying back and forth from culinary school.
You trained in Europe?
Cordon bleu, baby.
Wow. Is that where you met Quentin?
Ha, no. Q and I met at a garage party in Montreal.
People keep telling me I should visit Montreal.
Yeah, it's all right, I guess.
Why do you say that?
Because I lived in Paris. Montreal's cute and all, but Paris is Paris.
Paris always makes me think of my dad.
Was he from there?
No, he was a missionary. When I was 20, our church planned a trip to meet the bishop and he took me.
Are you religious?
Yeah, actually.
And did you like it?
Paris? I don't really remember.
Maybe that's because you went to the most romantic city in the world on a church trip with your dad.
No, it's because my dad died and it's the only time we went anywhere, just the two of us.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I don't know why I'm talking about this.
Where did you study?
I went to school for political science back home.
Fancy. You want to go into politics?
Yeah. I thought I wanted to move to Washington. So naive.
And your parents supported you?
C'est compliqué. Of course, nobody there would recognize half of my credits. But I speak French, and my dad said I should look into going to Ottawa. They have an international program at Carleton. I applied and got in.
How'd you end up here?
It's a bit of a stepping stone, to be honest. Mr. Clark is very connected. His firm has inroads with the kind of people who sit on the kinds of boards that fund the kind of lobbying I think it'll take.
What'll take?
Change? Is that cliche?
Doesn't have to be. You got big ambitions. I like that.
Thanks.
Well, I bet your dad's keeping an eye on you.
I hope so.
Rowan's wondering about dessert.
What's he wondering about?
When it will be served.
He said 10 o'clock. It's 9. These fucking people.
Pauline.
I know.
I think we should cut the cake out there. Save some time.
Yeah, better keep it intact till you know who decides if she wants another photo shoot.
Oh, don't make fun of her now that you two made up.
We didn't make up. And I'm not making fun of her. I'll tell you what I'm gonna make fun of, though.
What's that?
The sounds Marilyn will make when she bites into that cake. Oh, Quentin, yes.
Well, if I'd known dessert was taking so long because you were having sex in my kitchen, I wouldn't have told you to hurry it up.
Mr. Clark, we weren't. We were just readying the coffee.
Readying the coffee, is that a euphemism?
Of course not.
I'm kidding. Well, sort of. I do want things wrapped up by 10. I actually need to take a call in here. Do you mind?
Of course not.
If I take it to my office, they'll know it's important. They'll never leave.
Of course.
Do me a favor. Bring up a few bottles of the Mianetto, will you?
I thought we were having Riesling.
What, cake? No.
Your wife said she preferred the...
My wife prefers whatever costs more, but I promise she'll have no memory of which varietal, region, or label she chose because she does not, in fact, know the difference. And if it's all the same to you, I'd rather not waste $500 worth of good Riesling on cake.
Of course, Mr. Clark.
Would you like some privacy?
No, it's fine. Why are you looking at me like that?
You said 10 minutes. That was an hour ago.
I thought you left.
You asked me to wait, so I waited.
So you don't have to pick up your brother?
Not anymore.
Oh?
It's a long story.
Well, I'm sorry. I couldn't get away, so...
From the dining table?
I texted you.
I couldn't read it.
Why not?
Because I was talking to your wife.
Huh. Ooh.
Are you really expecting a call?
Yeah, I am, actually.
Is it important?
Yeah, I suppose it is.
Sounds serious.
Life-changing, in fact.
I can't tell if you're joking.
I'm not.
I don't believe you. I think you're just trying to keep me in suspense.
Is it working?
Maybe.
Good.
Do you just expect me to sit here and wait for your phone to ring?
Why, am I boring you? Because I can wait in the bathroom or something.
No. Stay. I have to wait for my brother to clear the airport anyways.
Oh, God, please. Don't tell me it's come to that already.
What?
Us using each other to fill the time? Come on.
I can put you to work if you'd like.
You are very precocious, you know that?
My father used to call me
that. No, don't do that.
What?
Compare me to your father. I don't want to be carrying on with someone who thinks of me as paternal.
I don't think of you as paternal.
Okay, that sounds almost insulting.
I don't mean it to be.
Like, did you hear my speech? Because that was pretty good fathering.
I think it made your daughter angry.
Yeah, well, she's always angry, so.
I liked it.
What, my speech?
Yes.
Thanks.
Is everything okay?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah.
You're sweating.
No, I'm...
What's going on?
Oh, I can't tell you yet.
Why not?
Because I don't want to jinx anything.
Oh, you don't believe in jinxes.
Well, tonight I think I do.
Hey, what happened to your ear?
A shaving accident.
Are you kidding?
No. What? Okay, why are you smiling like that?
It kind of came up in church.
Me cutting my ear?
Yeah, kind of.
Was the parable of the old man and his ear hair?
Something like that.
Is that in Corinthians?
There are no parables in Corinthians.
Is it in one of the scary parts of the Bible then? Or?
You could just read it.
Yeah, but it's more fun if you tell me.
What do you want to know?
Is there anything in there about how to handle raging daughters?
Nothing in there about daughters. Husbands, yes.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Warnings.
Warnings about what?
Their lack of self-control.
You think I lack self-control?
Sometimes.
And you? Do you lack self-control?
Sometimes.
When?
When I'm in the mood.
Hello? Jerry, hi. Fine, thanks. How are, taking a break from the festivities. No, you're not interrupting. I hate parties. No, not those types of parties. Just the ones for my kids. Yeah, that's right. Right. Okay, thanks so much, Jerry. Tell him thanks so much. And that's right. Just have someone get in touch with my team tomorrow morning. We can get the ball rolling. And, hey, Jerry. Thanks, eh? No, I mean that. I'm, well, I guess one might say I'm touched. You too. Yeah. Good night.
Are you going to tell me what that was about?
Maybe.
Just tell me.
I don't know that I can.
Why not?
Because after this last week together, I'm scared to.
Well, if it's that important.
It is that important.
Rowan,
listen. I want to tell you what's happened. And after that, I want you to be happy for me. And after that, I want to eat cake and get drunk with you. And after that, I want to have sex with you. And after that, I want this night to go on and on and on and on. Because after that, I think everything will change.
Rowan.
Rowan, what are you... Simone, I thought you'd left.
He's not through customs.
What are you doing in here?
I'm just waiting for Jerry to call.
Did he?
Yes.
And?
It's me, Marilyn.
Are you serious?
It's me!
Oh, my God! Oh, my God, Rowan!
I know!
What next?
They'll be in touch with legal in the morning. It's all just a formality at this point. Jerry said it's essentially mine now that I've been offered it. If I want it.
And do you?
Very much, I think. Very much. I mean, to be able to do something like this, something real, something important, something good. It's what I've wanted for a long time.
This is huge.
And let's not make a fuss about it now. Let's keep it about Henry tonight.
Of course. Take a minute, let it all settle, and then come out.
There's actually something we should talk about. Simone, I'm sorry. Do you mind giving us a minute?
Of course.
What is it?
I want to tell you this now before you hear it from someone on my team.
Okay.
When they told me my name was in the mix, it was advised that we undergo a risk assessment of the financials.
Okay.
And the issue of Edmund's account came up.
Why is that an issue?
Because in an audit, I can't say where the money goes.
That's not entirely true.
It absolutely is entirely true. All we know is that cash is withdrawn at erratic times and across multiple time zones. It used to be that we could argue it was for rent, but not anymore. Not for a long time.
Why can't we just keep claiming it as an allowance against his portion of the trust?
Well, the thing about being nominated for Governor General is that the PM's office, unsurprisingly, doesn't like hearing that I don't know where my money is going. And I don't even want to imagine where it might be going with him.
So what are you saying? We're supposed to cut him off?
I'm saying I already did cut him off.
When?
2 weeks ago.
So he has nothing?
I don't know what he has. I don't know what fucking country he's in, Marilyn. It's not like I can call him.
Oh, so now what?
What do you mean, now what? Now nothing. He gets a job or else he'll call, I guess. I don't really know.
He's not going to call us.
Yeah, he's not going to carry on being poor either. People like him, they don't last long without money. Once he stops being able to keep up with himself, we'll hear from him.
And until then, we just hope he's not lying in some ditch.
It's no different than what we do right now. Who knows? Maybe he'll even come to the wedding.
Oh,
God, I hope not. Though it might make Violet happy, for once. We had another row, by the way.
Yeah, I wondered. What about?
Your speech.
Okay, why is she mad at you about it?
Because, Rowan, she's mad at me for everything, especially the things she should be mad at you about.
Would you like me to talk to her?
Oh, what's the point? All she'll do is cry and tell you how horrible I am, and then what should be an argument between the two of you will just become a bonding exercise about how much I've failed her, and you'll say things like, oh, the thing about your mother, Violet, is blah, 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 and she'll say things like, but why does she have to be so cruel to me? And then you'll reminisce about some family trip or Christmas morning when I did something damaging and you made her happy, and she'll forget it was even about Edmund at all, and on and on and on it goes. No, it's far better for her to hate me and Edmund to hate you and for us to meet Henry in the middle.
Yes. Well, as long as we have each other.
As long as we do have each other.
What's that supposed to mean?
You're keeping secrets from me.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are. When were you going to tell me about Simone?
So what about her?
You didn't mention you were paying for a lawyer.
I'm sorry, it must have slipped my mind.
It's lonely enough being your wife without me having to find things out from your assistant.
You don't mean that.
I do, actually.
Marilyn.
I don't resent you for it, if that's what you're worried about. Anyways, it doesn't matter. Not like it's going to change now, is it?
I do love you, you know.
I do know. But I don't like it when you consult your accountants instead of me about our children, especially the estranged ones.
Noted.
It's funny. I can't tell whether this is going to change anything. News this big usually prompts fears about that sort of thing, you know, about whether the cracks might start to show. That you really believe in this, don't you?
In what?
In the possibility of something good coming from it all.
I do. For this? I do.
I'm proud of you.
Huh.
Have I said that already?
You have.
Good. You don't have any complaints about me, do you?
What are you talking about?
I'm serious.
Never, love. Never.
Good. Come back with me.
You're crazy, dude.
I know. I'm fucking mad, aren't I?
I didn't even know you, man.
I didn't stop you before.
I know, but this is...
What?
Fucking crazy. You're crazy.
Sucking you off in an airport bathroom is crazy. Teasing you on the plane under a polyester blanket was crazy. This isn't crazy. This is fucking destiny.
You're wasted.
No, I'm high. You're wasted.
Oh, shit. Shit.
What?
I think I left my bag in the cab.
You better go catch it, then.
Oh, fuck.
This fucking place.
Who are you?
Who are you?
I work here.
I live here. Is it someone's birthday?
Engagement.
Fuck off, really? Who's? Violet's? Well, of course not. Nobody likes Violet. Henry?
I...
Of course it is. Fucking Henry. He's the only one stupid enough to want this wasteland of a lineage to keep growing. What kind of cake is it? Vanilla. Gross. Boring fucking vanilla. Boring fucking Henry. Did he pick it? No. It's too circular. This was the fiance. Poor thing. I could tell you everything about her just looking at this fucking little cake. I bet she has a blog. Does she have a blog? It doesn't matter. They'll get divorced when she realizes he doesn't have a fucking personality. What are her parents like, the fiancés? Are they here? Oh, are they professors? No. Dentists? No. Dentists are too exciting. Too much gore. I bet they met at work at some convention at a hotel bar sucking at little plastic swords and that they love Niagara on the lake. Oh, so I'll have a sip of that now, please. Thank you. Sorry, I'm being really rude. What's your name?
Quentin.
I'm Edmund. You may have heard about me. I'm the gay son who ran away from home. I'm also an alcoholic. Well, relapsed. Whoopsie. Oh, God, that's awful. He called the police on me, Henry, twice. Actually, did you know that? The first time was really fucking awful because I almost fucking died. But the second time was warranted. I was chasing him around with a knife. That knife, actually. But that was only because he called me a faggot, him and his jock friend, Brayden. Could you imagine naming your kid fucking Brayden? The gall? Anyways, him and his jock friend Braden were trying to beat me up because I was playing with Violet's lip smackers. Do you know what lip smackers are?
Mr. Clark?
Oh shit, is Braden here too? No, no, probably not. He probably choked on a ham sandwich and died at his marketing job while he was flirting with the receptionist at lunch. I always thought he was hot though, Braden. He had big hands. Oh, these poppers are fucking me up. Anyway, how are you doing?
Mr. Clark.
Ew, he doesn't make a call on that, does he? Fuck me, that is not a good look for 2023. I mean, I know I just like wiped my hand on you a second ago, but that's just because I'm fucking high, a little bit drunk. I still have enough wherewithal to understand that the dynamic here is imbalanced, and I shouldn't have done that given the nuances of our current moment, and I apologize for that. I think I'm just a little anxious because I haven't seen my family for 5 years on account of my lifestyle choices, alcoholism, dependency on drugs. That wasn't a good time to slur, was it? Well, my timing's never been great. Or maybe it has, and I'm just blessed with perpetual fucking cosmic, ironic. I mean, it makes sense. I am a Sagittarius. Oh, good, you're back.
Mr. Clark!
Oh, you'll have to be louder than that. He's probably making a speech, and there's nothing he loves more than the sound of his own voice. Here, let me help you. Happy engagement, Henry! The spirit?
My cake!
Hello, mummy!
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Hello, brother!
What the hell is going on here?
Surprise! Mom?
That was part one of two of Paolo Santalucia's Prodigal. Chris, I love Paolo's writing. It's so fresh, and he has written such smart and biting dialogue and crafted some really hilarious and cringeworthy scenes of people behaving badly, and there's such a solid cast in these roles. I love seeing the dynamics of this family set in their kitchen and how they interact with the people that work for them. And I think what's most surprisingly is that while Paolo is a rising actor and artistic leader, this was actually his very first play.
Yeah, I know. That really surprised me as well. The thing also with Paolo is he's done something that I think a lot of writers strive for, but he really nailed it in the character of Edmund, in that he wrote somebody who is a total asshole. Yet you can't help but love the guy. He's made him so relatable in his vulnerability, and you want to root for him no matter how big of a jerk he becomes. And I think you get a bit of a taste of that in part one, but in part two, you really get to know the character, and I think when you listen to that next week, you're really going to fall in love with him. We'll return next week with a dramatic conclusion to this award-winning play. In the meantime, if you want to hear more contemporary stories about power and greed, we recommend Iceland by Nicolas Bihan, available on PlayMe, wherever you get your podcasts. Prodigal was written and directed by Paolo Santalucia. It featured Michael Ayers as Levi Cole, Veronica Ortuella as Sadie, Cameron Laurie as Henry Clark, Dan Musso as Edmund Clark, Nancy Pock as Marilyn Clark, Rick Roberts as Rowan Clark, Hallie Celine as Violet Clark, Megan Swaby as Pauline, Shauna Thompson as Simone Cole, Andre Sills as the pastor, and Jeffrey Young as Quentin.
Paolo Santalucia would like to acknowledge Natasha Mamba, Virgilia Griffith, Akosia Amo Adem, the Toronto Arts Council, and the Canadian Arts Council for their meaningful contributions to the show. The Howland Company first produced Prodigal in association with Crow's Theatre. This episode's sound design, edit, and mix are by Chris Tolley. Thanks for listening.
We'd love to know what you think about Play Me. You can connect with us by emailing playme@cbc.ca. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Play Me wherever you get your podcasts. By subscribing, you can listen to all our past shows and you won't miss a single one of our new episodes. And while you're there, we would love it if you would consider rating and reviewing us. It helps spread the word about our podcast, bringing theater to a whole new audience. Play Me is produced by Laura Mullen and Chris Tolley in partnership with CBC Podcasts. Our associate producer is Brianne Tice. A special thanks to our CBC team. Anna Achete is our digital producer, and our executive producer is Cecil Fernandez.
The director of CBC Podcasts is Arif Narani, and the executive director is Leslie Merklinger.
Play Me is funded by the Canada Council for the Arts and the Ontario Arts Council. Play Me is an Expect Theatre production. For more information about our plays, please visit playmepodcast.com.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.